Walt Disney Productions presents The Devil and Max Devlin, starring Elliot Gould, Bill Cosby, Susan Anspach, Adam Rich, and introducing Julie Budd. Music for songs by Marvin Hamlisch. Roses and Rainbows lyrics by Carol Bayer-Sager. Any Fool Could See lyrics by Ali Willis. Max Devlin parks his battered old car, puts a parking ticket under the windscreen and walks towards a tatty apartment building called Whitsett Riviera. He wears a flat cap and carries a small brown grocery bag. A group of tenants is waiting for him. Inside his office, Max walks slowly to his desk and sits down behind it. He puts a cigarette between his lips and rummages in his grocery bag for a light. He takes the lid off a takeaway coffee and his hat off his head, dropping it onto the desk in front of him.
Okay, you can come in now. One at a time. Make a nice line, orderly, be kind, be nice to
one. What about my pay job?
Mr. Billings, you're talking about a major improvement. It would be up to the owner.
Oh, it's always up to the owner.
I have cockroaches.
No, you don't. In New York, they have cockroaches. Here we have palmettos, and they're harmless.
My little granddaughter, very placid, very quiet, never talks above a whisper. Tiptoes when she walks. Adorable, no?
No.
Look, just for 2 days while her mother goes to visit her.
Mrs. Davis, rules are rules. And at Grand Manor, the rules are no children, no pets, and no unnecessary repairs or
expenses. I'm not asking for unnecessary.
What can I tell you, Mrs. Davis? No children means no children.
Yes.
If I've heard it once, I've heard it a million times. The owner has said they're very cute when they're little, but when they grow up...
That saying is for kittens.
I can't believe it.
After all we've meant to each other, you would actually evict me for keeping a parakeet in my room?
Sweetheart, if I let you keep a parakeet, I'd have to let everybody else keep a parakeet. And this is not a bird sanctuary. It's an apartment house.
Honey, he's only following rules. If you want to blame someone, blame the rotten owner.
He is the rotten owner.
Well, that's all for now, folks. I have an important appointment outside. Excuse me. Garolnik, is that you? I want to talk to you. Mr. Garolnik, it's been 2 months. And I want my rent, or I'm going to take your apartment, Mr. Garolnik. I want it back. I want my rent, Mr. Garolnik. Your rent is due. I'm going to have to take steps.
Mister, would you cross me?
Out of my way, old man!
Max has tripped over a blind lady's cane and gone under the wheels of a bus. A group of Hare Krishna devotees gets off the bus and gathers round the body. The blind woman joins the group. Max descends a long tunnel of red light. Other recently deceased souls fall down with him. Eventually he lands and finds himself in a stereotypical form of hell, complete with smoke and flames and a long column of lost souls marching across a bridge in the distance. Max looks appalled, and a cloud of smoke briefly envelops him. He walks slowly forward towards some figures sitting in what looks very like a hellish version of a corporate boardroom.
I'm having a bad dream.
I'm having a bad dream.
I'm having a bad dream.
A suave man in a well-cut suit nods to him.
Barney Satin, Soul's manager. On behalf of Gregory, Juliet, Veronica, Paul, and Lance, and our esteemed chairman, welcome to hell.
But I'm not dead.
They all nod.
See? See? I'm not dead.
Barney turns away.
No, wait a minute. No, wait, hold everything. You're making a terrible mistake. I don't belong here. I've never done anything.
Maxwell Harvey Devlin, for cheating in fourth grade spelling test, for misrepresenting his age at the local movie house, prank phone calls, stealing bubble gum from the local supermarket, ditching an ugly blind date.
These are trivial misdemeanors.
I'm aware of that. This is a new game plan, remember? Now, if you'll just bear with me, Mr. Chairman, sir.
For fraudulent income tax deductions.
But everybody does that.
For failing to follow through on innumerable real estate promises. For failing to follow through on 11 promises of marriage.
But I'm not the marrying kind. I'm a perennial bachelor.
For failing to assist Agent Hargraves.
Agent Hargraves? Well, who's Agent Hargraves? Now look, this is a mistake. Look, I never heard of any Agent Hargraves before in my life.
Agent Hargraves.
Agent Hargraves was the blind woman who asked for assistance.
That's entrapment! It's not fair!
Fair? Are you forgetting where you are?
Max Devlin is hereby condemned to level 4.
Level 4? What's level 4?
It's horrible. Horrible.
You're gonna send me someplace horrible?
Unless
what? What?
Well, let's say that we conditionally restore you to life on Earth, say for a period of 2 months. In that time, if you could find 3 souls to take your place, you sign them. Then, if you don't...
Let me see, there's Joe Pizzuti. He's a slum landlord. And there's a doctor I know who's deeply into Medicaid fraud. I'm a hitman I know in Venice.
No good.
No, it's not Venice, Italy. It's Venice, right here in California.
No good. Sooner or later, we get those people anyway.
What did he say?
It's no good. We get these people anyways.
Mr. Depp, what we're looking for is fresh, unsullied innocence.
I don't think I know too many people like that. Actually, I don't think I know any. Where do I find them?
They're all over, unfortunately. To facilitate matters, let's start with your area. Unsullied innocence. L.A. Get them.
Barney calls up the images of 3 young people.
You want me to corrupt the souls of little kids? See, I've never been much on kids. That's not a nice thing.
Neither's level 4.
Where do I sign?
Barney smiles. Back on Earth, paramedics are just about to carry Max away when he terrifies them by coming back to life, throwing off the sheet and sitting up. The Hare Krishna followers are delighted.
What's going on here?
You just got killed by this bus!
You're out of your mind.
Max stands up, pushes his way through the crowd and jams his cap back on his head. A policeman makes the sign of the cross. In a nearby coffee shop, Max takes a thoughtful drink from his cup. He suddenly hears Barney, who's sitting opposite him dressed as a construction worker.
Mind if I join you? Do I know you? Do you live around here? I mean, you look very familiar. Oh my God.
What'll it be?
Just give me a second. Wait a minute. I said, just give me a second. Wait a minute. This is crazy. I don't know you. I dreamed you.
It was no dream, Max.
What's going on here? How do you know my name?
I know everything about you, Max.
Well, you want to order or not?
I'll have another black coffee. Hey, wait a minute. What about my friend here?
Your friend?
Yeah, my friend.
Okay. Two coffees, one for your friend.
You can't see me, Max.
What are you talking about?
Only you can see me.
You're crazy, you know that? You must have just escaped from the funny house.
Two coffees, one for your friend.
Hey, do you know this guy?
Yeah, I've seen him around.
That's what I thought.
All right, now look, you make sure to pick up the tab. You see, I don't trust your friend.
He's putting you on. He can't see me.
You're crazy. You know. Hey, Mac, he tells me you can't see him.
Look, buddy, why don't you take your friend and leave? I don't want to have to call the cops.
The cops? He's going to call the cops now. Everybody's crazy around here. I'm getting out of here.
Hey, that's $1.05 for three coffees.
Don't worry, I'm paying.
All right, let's have it.
Max glances into a mirror near the till and realizes with a shock that he can see the interior and the other customers in it, but not himself. Horrified, he looks back into the room.
Okay, buddy. Let's have it.
Max throws him some bills and rushes out to find Barney sitting on the roof of a car.
Listen, a weird thing just happened. There's this mirror behind the cashier.
You're one of us now. Inhabitants of hell cast no reflection.
Max puts his hands over his mouth in shock. Barney shows him the agreement.
You remember this?
Oh, my God.
I wish you wouldn't say that.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's true. I can't believe it. Why me? I'm young. I wasn't any worse than the next guy. I mean, I wasn't all bad, was I? It's not fair. Where were you when I needed you?
Yeah, well, you can't blame him. I mean, you did it all yourself. Now, is there some place less public we have things to discuss because time's wasting?
They enter a phone box.
All right, now, you okay? Now, look, let's synchronize our watches. What time do you have?
Shh. Who cares? I'm dead.
No, cheer up now. You have midnight, May 15th. I want signed contracts of the three kids.
Okay, for starters, who are they? What are their names? How am I going to meet them?
Concentrate. Like the girl. She's your target. Concentrate.
Is that?
Yeah.
He puts a finger to the side of his left eye.
Yeah.
This is phenomenal. Wow, it's like I got ESP or something. I got her. I could see her. It's a little hazy.
Well, what do you want for the first time out?
This is amazing. Hey, how could I be there? How do you do that?
Same technique. You concentrate harder. Literally think yourself there.
I hate the way I look.
No, you look great.
I look terrible.
No, you should see the back.
I look terrible.
Great.
In the back.
Stella, you're going to be terrific tonight.
Yeah, sure.
This time.
Oh, my God.
What are you doing in here?
It's quite all right. I'm very sorry. I'm not really here. Excuse me. Come in.
He was in the ladies' toilet.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, boy.
Barney! In the ladies' room, for God's...
Please, in the ladies' room.
Next time, you look before you
leap.
Right.
Next time, I look before I leap.
Now, from now on, this in order to concentrate.
But I thought
it's not necessary. Okay? One of the most valuable of your newly acquired gifts is to confer magic properties, you see. Now, to do that, all you have to do is command your target to perform.
Perform what?
Whatever.
Yeah.
The air conditioning's on the fritz again, and it's hotter than hell up here.
Ha! He doesn't know how hot it is.
Max, you better get my screens fixed. Those palmettos are coming in the windows. They're all over the place. Max!
I'm over here.
Max puts the chain on his office door.
Magic property lasts only so long as you and the target are within sight of each other.
What happens to the kids after they sign?
Nothing. We don't get them until the natural ends of their lives.
He smiles slightly at Max. Stella Summers is at a gig with a friend when Max appears next to her in the audience.
Hey, isn't that the head A&R for Blizzard Records?
Oh, man. But I wouldn't give not to mess up now.
You won't. Oh, you won't.
What do you mean? Hey, that's the guy from the John.
Hey, don't come near me, pal. You lay a hand on me and I'll scream.
Oh, I'm genuinely sorry about what happened in the bathroom. It was an honest mistake. I just walked through the wrong door.
He doesn't seem like a pervert, Heidi.
Thank you very much. I'm not. But I am very good luck, and I guarantee you will not fail tonight.
Stella nods, but her friend looks more incredulous. The band walks off stage and Stella prepares to sing.
You're going to do all right. Now, go get him, Stella.
All right. Now, to sing her own material. This is her first time now, folks, so let's have a warm welcome for Miss Stella Summers. Come on.
Stella takes to the stage and nervously approaches the mic.
It's Pan Canyon, where I come from. The living's real easy, because everybody's folks kind of lets them do their own thing, which is why I'm glad I come from there. So what I'd like to do right now is sing for you a tune that I wrote this tune, you know, and I'd like to dedicate it to all the kids around the country, who don't have it so good.
Max concentrates.
I've never loved and been so sure of me. Now I
what
guess
happened?
We both have to choose.
She looks over to Max and her friend. The audience is enthralled.
Yeah, all alone. Guess I'm all grown up now. Wish I didn't have to be so strong. Should I give in? Too much for you to touch.
Max joins in with the applause. The A&R man has been very impressed by Stella's performance. He gets up from his table, leaving his companion.
Just stick with me, kid. Excuse me.
Yeah?
Jerry Nadler, A&R, Blizzard Records. Listen, sweetheart, that was sheer dynamite. Oh. You got anything on tape?
No.
No, all right, listen, what I want you to do is come into the place. Anytime it's convenient for you, we'll lay something down, okay?
Oh, yeah.
All right, how about next week?
Oh, yeah. Oh, can he come?
Right, what is he, your manager or what?
No, she needs me.
Come on, they want you.
Who are you?
I'm her groupie.
Great.
Max materializes back in his office and concentrates on the next target, Nerve Nordlinger. Nerve is lying in bed reading a magazine about motocross, which he quickly swaps as his mother opens the door.
Nelson, darling, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. What's keeping you up so late?
The UCLA Law Review. It's fascinating.
Oh, that's nice, dear. Well, good night.
Good night.
He swaps the Law Review for the motocross magazine again. Max drives slowly up to Nerve's school. He's customized his car with a sign on the roof which reads Max's Mobile Motocross School and a rack at the back carrying a dirt bike. Nerve is trying to persuade one of the high school jocks to let him have a go on his motocross bike.
Come on, forget about him.
Oh, come on. Just one quick lesson.
Just forget it, Nerve.
Why?
Because nerves don't do dangerous stuff. Suppose you fell off the bike. Your daddy'd sue us.
I'll sign a waiver.
Get it.
Max smiles to himself and pulls on a motocross helmet. He drives quite quickly past the front gate of the school and Nerve flags him down.
Oh. Do you take beginners?
Depends on how badly you want to learn.
What?
Max takes off his helmet.
I said it depends on how badly you want to learn.
Oh, a lot.
Because I wouldn't want to divulge my expertise to just anyone. You've got to want it so bad, I mean so bad, that you'd sell your soul for it.
Well, I'm your man. I mean, you know, it's such a wild coincidence you're just coming along like that.
Hop in.
Nerve gets into the passenger seat and they shake hands.
Max Devlin.
Nelson Nordling, how do you do?
Nice meeting you, Nelson.
Oh, and Squally. Oh,
insensitive bums.
They go out into the desert.
Aren't you going to show me how first?
Nah, learning by doing, that's my motto. Come on, get on and take her away.
Well, Mr. Devlin, the worst thing about being a nerd is just that you begin to believe the litany of disaster that you were brought up on. To put it bluntly, I'm scared to get on this thing.
Of course you are. I can understand that. But, Sonny boy, I'm not your run-of-the-mill trainer. I have wrought miracles in my day. Do you ever hear of Roger DeCoster?
You taught Roger DeCoster?
By the time I'm finished with you, you're going to make Roger DeCoster look like molasses. You're going to be the motocross champ of the world. Now, come on. Miracle Max says step on the starter.
After a slight hesitation, Nerve does so.
Miracle Max says you're going to ride all over this hill, and what's more, you're going to like it.
Try.
Nerve zooms off across the scrub on the bike. Another rider appears at the crest of a hill and races Nerve along a dirt track. Max becomes aware of another motorbike approaching along the road that he's parked on. He shields his eyes from the sun as he watches the black, slightly sinister-looking bike and rider getting nearer. The bike stops next to him and the rider lifts his visor.
Just thought I'd remind you that a magic property lasts only as long as you and the subject are within sight of each other.
Barney rides off and Max yells towards Nerve.
Hey, come back!
Max starts to run as Nerve and the other rider disappear over a hill. Nerve instantly falls off. Max pounds along the dirt track as the other rider stops to see if Nerve is okay.
All right. Yeah. Did pretty good considering the hunk of junk he's riding on. Well, that's not my hunk of junk. It belongs to my trainer.
Yeah. What kind of trainer to run you on a rattly trap old thing like that?
Oh, well, so long as it runs, I guess.
Hey, I'll tell you what, you come on out to Indian Dunes one of these days. I'll be glad to race against your property. Big Billy Hunnicker's a moniker.
Nerf Nordlinger. Nerf with a V.
Good enough. Be seeing you now.
Nerf watches Big Billy ride off, and Max appears above the brow of the hill.
You stupid, dumb, idiot. It's a miracle you aren't killed. Look, when I said over the hill, I didn't mean literally over the hill. Now, let me tell you something. How you choose to endanger your life in your spare time is beyond my control. But when you're riding this bike, I never want you out of my sight. Ever. Is that clear? Now, let's cruise easy and nice back to the car.
Yeah. Okay.
Max and Nerv lift the bike upright. The third target is a young boy called Toby, currently at the fairground, queuing up to get a ride on the waltzer.
Sorry. No children under 12 are permitted without an adult.
He's with me. I'm his Uncle Max. Can you make that two, please?
Yeah, two.
Thank you very much.
Next.
By the way, who's Uncle Max Ammer?
Toby
who?
Toby Hart. And thanks a lot for
my pleasure.
The ride's operator releases the brake and the waltzer starts to move. The car containing Max and Toby is raised high into the air and it spins eccentrically. The car eventually returns to the ground, leaving Max exhausted and a little queasy. Toby scrambles out of the car and starts to walk away. Max follows him through the crowds.
What do you mean you see me? I thought you were having such a great time.
Well, I am. But I ran out of money, so.
What are you worried about? I got plenty of money. The next one's on me.
Really?
Sure. I figured we'd spend some time together, get to know one another. I'll find out the kind of things you like. You'll find out the kind of things I like. For instance, Toby, if you could have anything in the whole world, what would it be?
The zoo, the octopus.
Well, that's not exactly what I had in mind.
Don't you like the octopus?
It's better than life itself, but what I thought was that if you and me got our heads together...
They go round on the waltzer again, followed by a session in the bouncy castle. Two more rides follow that. They walk home with Max carrying a big cuddly toy and a helium balloon. They both have drinks and Toby has a candy floss.
Okay. So you don't want to be the best pitcher in your class. You don't want to be the strongest kid in the world. You don't want to be the lead soprano in the Vienna Boys Choir. Then what do you want to be? Hey, I got it. I got it. I got it. Invisible. If you were invisible, then you could come here all the time and ride the rides for free. That wouldn't that be great?
Wait, but wouldn't that be cheating?
Yeah. You're right. You wouldn't want to cheat. Well, Toby, old pal, old sport, isn't there something you want that's so big and so terrific and so important that you'd, well, you'd practically sell your soul for?
Well, there is one thing.
What?
To have you for my father.
Well, what's the matter with your own father?
Dad.
Oh.
See, if you were my father, I can go to the carnival for free anytime I want anyways, because you'd bring me. It's only a couple of blocks from the house. I live right over here. Come on.
Oh. I mean, how do you know your mother would want to marry me?
She will. Why wouldn't she?
Toby's mother is in the garden with a group of children.
Are those all your little brothers and sisters and things?
Nah, they're part of Mom's daycare center, which she'd be helping you with.
Oh.
Oh, and that's Mom over there. She's a neat lady, most of the time.
Okay.
Toby gives Max his sweet packet, takes the huge cuddly toy, and staggers into the garden with it.
Hi, Mom.
Toby.
Mr. Max Devlin, Penny Hart. Ta-da!
How come you're so late and you're so dirty?
Max watches as she takes Toby into the house.
And I asked you not to waste your money in that place again.
Uncle Max!
Uncle Max.
He's okay. I found out all about him. He's in real estate, 38 years old, not married, and loves little kids.
Oh, I'll bet.
Listen, Toby, I am not getting married again for a good long time, if ever. So stop matchmaking. One of these days you're going to drag home a murderer. This is probably the day.
Oh, Mom, he's nice. Look at him.
The name of this game is Names. I'm Max.
I'm Trey.
Good.
I'm Sean.
Sean.
I'm Christian.
Hello, Christian. Stella?
Yeah?
Let's try it again, okay?
Okay, yeah. I'll do good this time.
Roll the music.
Roll playback. Take 41.
So hard to say it what I need when I'm sorry, I can't. I'm sorry. I'm blowing it.
Take 5, Stella. We'll come back to it in a minute.
Cut it.
Oh, my goodness.
Joy.
Stella.
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 Toby, watch that man. I don't want him up below those kids for 2 seconds. He looks thoroughly unreliable. Hello? Oh, I'm sorry. I can't talk right now. I'm very busy.
Max has gone.
Okay, good. Thanks. Bye-bye.
The children are searching the garden for Max.
I'm sorry. I can't.
Yes, you can.
Well, stop the music.
Where did he come from?
I don't know. Max, we've done it 42 times already.
Yeah, but you didn't do it 42 times with me here. Okay, Stella.
Yeah.
Let's give them a perfect take, okay?
Okay.
Okay, guys, start the music.
Start the music.
Roll playback. Take 43.
Oh, it's so hard saying what I need when I know that it means there's no you. I've never loved and been so sure of it. Now I guess we both have to choose. Oh, you say friends and I say that's not enough. Give it up for what they love is, but it is just too much for you to touch.
Stella's album sells like hotcakes.
Hello?
Hello, Toby. This is your Uncle Max.
Oh, hi.
Can I talk to your mother, please?
Just a sec, all right?
Mom,
it's Uncle Max.
Uncle Max. I don't believe it. Tell him that I'm not here.
She says to say she's not here.
Huh? Well, then you tell her it's somebody else. I have to talk to her.
He says to say he's someone else.
Excuse me, you guys.
Penny leaves the children and goes over to the house to take the call.
Hello, Uncle Max. I don't know who you are or what you want, but I want you to leave me and my son alone, please.
Mrs. Hart, don't hang up on me, please, until you hear me out, okay? You may think this sounds insane, but I've fallen deeply in love.
You know what you are? You are the only 11-year-old procurer in the business.
What's up? Forget it.
Stella and Max are enjoying themselves at a party at Jerry Nadler's luxurious house. There's a sumptuous buffet and even a jacuzzi in the centre of the room containing several people in swimsuits. People are dancing enthusiastically, and a roving reporter is wandering around the house with a microphone.
Great party, Jerry. Great.
The reporter descends the staircase from the jacuzzi room to make a statement to his viewers. Barney materializes near Max, pretending to be a party guest.
My sources tell me that the record deal Stella's manager negotiated for her is well up there in six figures, which makes Stella a very lucky little girl.
And what percentage of the six-figure deal is lucky little Maxie going to get?
Max flashes 20 at him with his fingers. Barney's astonished.
So, where's your girlfriend hiding?
Parents wouldn't let her come. They're such a pain.
Well, your parents are okay, aren't they? They're alive.
Sure. In Topanga Canyon, though, it's different, you know? Like, parents don't care where you go, who you go with, or what kind of music you play, you know? I mean, Maxie, I am really lucky. I mean, there are some parents, they are so strict. They don't allow anything but classical around the house. And they don't even own a TV.
The party continues, with Max dancing with Stella and Barney grooving just behind Max, unseen by anyone else. Max hands Stella a plate of food.
Having a swell time, aren't you?
Yeah, this is great. I hope this lasts forever.
I bet you'd be willing to sell your soul for that.
That is soul to sell.
Would you care to put that on paper? Because I'm the guy who can arrange it. Remember me? Miracle Max?
Right now, I'd sell my soul for a cheeseburger.
Well, that too can be arranged. Just put your little John Hancock right there, and we'll fill the details in later.
Max, you know, you're really off the wall tonight. Here, hold this. I want to talk to Jerry.
She hands him her plate.
Well, eat first and corrupt later. That's what I always say.
Barney looks at Max disapprovingly.
How much later are you planning to wait? It's already April 10th.
Well, look at her. She's as good as in the bath.
As good as is not good enough. Now, what about the others?
Oh, don't worry. I'm working on it.
A young motocross rider pushes his bike through the car park surrounded by pretty girls. Nerve registers to ride in the event with Max right behind him. Big Billy's wife spots someone.
Hey, man. Hey, I don't want you to get excited, man.
Oh, my God. Don't turn around. There are two Nakaguchi scouts sitting right there in the bleachers.
Well, shut my mouth.
Don't turn around. Look, I know why they're here, too. They're looking for factory riders. If you go out there and win, they're going to make you one. I just know it.
Honey, they will. They will.
Don't you get to do your best, Billy, okay?
Laverne, honey, don't I always?
Yeah.
The bikes line up to start the race, and Max runs up to Nerve.
You've been over this track a million times in the last few weeks.
Yeah, but never in a race.
It's very simple. You start, you ride like a bat out of hell, and you win.
Have you ever seen one of our bats?
Scratch that. You start, and you win.
Okay, I'll be waiting over there.
Max runs out of the way, followed by Barney.
All the riders are now facing the starting line. Start looking them over.
Max stands on the roof of a camper van on top of a hill so that he can see Nerve all the way around the course. Number 19 is Nerve.
With number
the big Billy's gonna take him in the final.
How do you know he's gonna?
Because he happens to be the best amateur player in the country, Billy.
Nerv finds himself surrounded by fans as he pushes his bike off the course.
Wow, you were wonderful.
Hey, does everybody here know my good buddy Big Billy Hunniker? And Mrs. Big Billy Hunniker?
Better be now.
Wow, you were great.
It was great. They tell out of me how you done it, though.
Yeah, come on, Nerv, tell us. How'd you do it?
How did you do it?
Tell me.
Well, I just... Don't go away, I'll be right back, okay?
Wonderful.
15 minutes.
Max.
Next photo. 15
minutes. Listen, kid, this is the first of a lot of wins for you, so a word of advice. When someone asks you how you did it, just say, that's my little secret.
Okay.
But how did I do it?
That's my little secret. Just don't ever do it without me.
Penny is having a tennis lesson, playing against a tall man with a moustache. On a nearby court, Toby is playing tennis against himself. Miserably, he walks to the net and starts to collect up his tennis balls. Suddenly, he sees a pair of muddy boots the other side of the net. It's Max, still in his motocross gear.
Hi. It's only dear old Dad's.
You wish?
Well, it's not my wish, it's your wish. But since your very wish is my command, I'm going to give it one more try. Toby, you think your mother's going to be home tonight by any chance?
Yeah, but not to you, I bet.
Why?
Well, it's very discouraging. Now she'll probably end up marrying boring Larry Bender.
What's a boring Larry Bender?
My mom's tennis teacher.
You mean I'm not the only contender? Gee, if it's just any old father you'd sell your soul for.
Well, it isn't. You're my first choice.
That's a relief. Toby, do you think we could keep your mother really busy for the rest of the day?
Why?
Just trust me, okay? Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Weird about two things. The way they come and go.
Oh, it's weird, all right. 3 hours and $25 later.
Sorry. It just suddenly got better again.
As she pulls up at their house, she sees a truck and a group of gardeners parked outside. One of them is loading turves into a wheelbarrow. He pushes the barrow into the garden and Penny gets out of her car and follows him. She pulls up short when she sees that the garden is being transformed with grass and play equipment. She addresses the foreman.
I'm sorry, you must have the wrong house. I didn't authorize any of this.
Penny Hart, 1723 Tobias Street.
I hope you're not mad at me.
I don't understand.
Well, I wanted to do something really nice, so you wouldn't think I was such a terrible guy.
Well, you don't have to go through all this trouble. No, I can't accept this.
Oh, please. The kids will really enjoy the equipment, and it's going to make me feel very warm inside.
Look, Mom, grass, so we don't have to sit in the dirt anymore.
I'm really very touched.
Of course, I've completely depleted my savings account, but Toby and Tremaine and Consuela are wonderful people, and oh, what the heck.
He takes Penny out to an Italian restaurant.
So between managing the Nordlinger boy and Stella, I'm perpetually on the run, as you can imagine.
I don't have to imagine. I can tell by looking at you. Don't you ever look in the mirror when you shave?
Not if I can help it. Take tonight. Tonight's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Jan 3. Who needs it? Believe me, Penny, my life isn't my own. And on top of everything else, there's my real estate responsibilities, which are considerable. Some landlords will allow a place to go to hell in a trash can, but not me. Constant repairs, constant maintenance, constant outlays of time and money.
I'll bet.
And then there's the little old ladies who insist on keeping their pets, and the young married couples who insist on keeping their kids. Not that I've got anything against kids. But some landlords feel it's rough enough taking care of a place these days without them thumping and bumping around and playing handball on your walls at all hours and putting their mangy little hands in your fresh paint. plus the whining and the wailing all night. And at the crack of dawn in the morning, before you've had your coffee, they'll ring your bell with the most insipid, stupid questions that you never have an answer to. It could drive you nuts.
Is that how you really feel about kids?
Well, sometimes.
Me too. Sometimes.
Max and Penny take her daycare children roller skating. Max, without skates, leads a little girl around the outdoor rink by the hand, enjoying himself. Penny is holding the hands of two little children and grinning broadly. Penny gathers up her charges and they start to skate home. Max and Penny indicate a bench where they can stop for a rest. The two adults sit down and the children gather around them. That evening, Toby has fallen asleep in front of a log fire as Penny and Max talk happily and intensely across a chess set on a table. Max looks down at the chessboard. He takes her queen with his rook. She replies by taking his rook with her bishop. He looks concerned and they both raise their eyes from the chessboard. They gaze at each other, becoming more and more attracted. They lean in towards each other across the chessboard. Tentatively at first, they kiss. At the side of the table, Toby opens his eyes and grins broadly. Stella is about to play a big concert. A band is already playing on stage. Jerry talks to her backstage.
Everybody in the Braniff Lounge at 10:45 a.m. sharp, and that means sharp, we've got a heavy body count. And Stella, I still don't know if the number one groupie is coming or not.
A parents' letter.
What do you need her for?
Companionship.
Don't worry about it, sweetheart. I'll find somebody for you, keep you company, or somebody you can rap with, dig?
Wait a second, Max is coming, right?
Right. Aha, speak of the devil. Greg Weems, I want you to meet Max Devlin, his Svengali manager. Now, him you gotta take very good care of because this dippy chick doesn't sing a note unless he's practically in her pocket.
Hey, right on, eh?
Stella, you're on.
Come here. Listen to me carefully. I'm going out front to watch you from there, but with that crowd, timing is everything. So don't start to sing until I give you the cue from the audience. Is that clear?
Okay, that's clear.
He gives her a peck on the cheek. Stella is led onto the stage by a couple of security guards.
Okay, here's what you've been waiting for. Ladies and gentlemen, Stella Summers!
She walks down to the front of the stage. She stands stationary behind the microphone, waiting for the signal from Max. She spots Max waving to her from the audience. Penny is sitting next to him.
Oh, it's so hard saying what I need here. And I know that it means there's no you.
Max puts his arm around Penny and she takes his hand. A tour bus drives along a country road with the words Stella Summers and Fast Company on its side. Penny drives Max to the airport and parks up. She gives him a kiss. She holds out a gift for him. It's an electric shaver.
Thank you.
Stella's tour takes to the air. On the plane, she's sitting next to Jerry. Max is a couple of rows back. As a stewardess serves him a meal, he becomes aware that Nerve might be in trouble. He can't start his bike.
What's the problem, huh, bud? Come on, kick it over, pal.
Max arrives.
Start it up. Come on, get it started.
The bike's rear wheel sprays mud all over Max's light-coloured suit. The man in the next seat is surprised by the state of him when he reappears on the plane. Jerry and Greg shepherd Stella through a horde of fans. A limousine drives her to the Holiday Inn, where her name is in lights on the outside. Once again, she's besieged by fans and autograph hunters. The tour continues by bus and plane, but Stella is growing unhappy. Once again, Jerry and Greg lead her through the screaming fans. This time she's wearing shades. She sits on the floor of her hotel room, deeply unhappy. Another day, another concert. Max and Jerry watch from the wings. Barney is in the gallery above them, dangling a heavy sandbag above Jerry.
Hey, you! Get your hands off that rope!
He shoves Jerry to the floor.
What did you do that? What, are you crazy?
I was just trying to save your life.
Save my life? What, by killing me? You're crazy!
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Jerry, really.
Wait, don't touch me, all right?
You, it's all your fault. Jerry, I'm all wound up. I'm sorry, I'm tense. I'm gonna go and relax in a minute. Barney, you son, where are you? Oh, there you are, you obnoxious. Oh, sorry.
Hey, it's okay. We're all show business here, you know.
That's right.
The janitor leaves, carrying his mop, and Max sees Barney sitting by the roller towel.
You harboring some kind of death wish, Max?
No, but you are. You're lucky you're dead, man, or so help me, you would be.
Angry, Max.
You're darn right I am. Don't you ever, ever try a stunt like that on me again.
Just trying to get your attention.
Well, next time, try tapping me on the shoulder.
What about my contracts?
So that's what this is all about.
Yes, my associates are getting a little itchy.
I don't care. I got until midnight, May 15th. That's our deal. I'm telling you, I'm trying to get these people so hooked on me, they'll sign anything. That takes time. Now, if I go too fast, I'm liable to blow the whole deal.
I like your style, Max. You're a devious fellow.
Max goes to see Stella in her dressing room.
Who's that? Oh, hi, Maxie. Come in.
Carrying the contract and a pen, he sits down near her.
What's that? Let me see.
Gentlemen, I hereby engage you to be my sole personal manager for an indefinite period and stuff. Hey, what is this?
Well, now that you're such a big hit, I thought that it would be a good idea for us to enter into a business-like arrangement. That's all.
Well, we have a business-like arrangement. I mean, you get 20% of everything I make. Isn't that business-like?
But we don't have anything officially on paper.
It doesn't matter. You get the bread anyhow. What difference does it make?
Stella, suppose I decided not to show up sometime, and without my miracle, you couldn't sing.
Well, I don't know. Then you get 20% of nothing. I mean, why would you do a dumb thing like that?
Max is defeated by her logic. Penny is relaxing on a beach with a book. She looks right and left for Toby and waves to him when she spots him. Max appears next to Toby in the surf, fully dressed.
Listen, how'd you find us? There must be 100 million people here.
Well, I told you this morning, intuition.
Yeah, well, I wish your intuition told you to bring your swimming trunks. We could have gone in. Well, I'm so glad you came in with us. I missed you.
Well, it's the first day off we've had in quite some time.
Yeah, well, my mom missed you too.
Yeah? So you still want me to be your dad, huh?
Yeah, don't you want to be?
Well, of course I do, Toby. You know that. But a guy like me's got to think pretty carefully before he gives up his freedom and takes on the responsibility of a family, so on and so forth. I mean, it's like you're going to get me for a father, but what am I going to get from you?
I don't know. What do you want?
Well, what do you got?
Some baseball cards, cassette deck. It doesn't work too good, but...
Never mind. Keep going. I think we can come to an agreement here.
Okay, let me think. I got a Guinness Book of World Records.
Wow, that's great.
Let's see, a rock collection.
Oh, I always wanted one of those.
A real pair of handcuffs with the key.
Oh, a key?
Let me think. I got some more stuff.
Yeah?
A rubber-coated hardball.
Oh, wow.
One more, wait. Oh, yeah, and two packs of Red Hots. You know, those little cinnamon candies.
Oh, yummy. Yeah, that's enough. Now, okay, now listen, how does this sound? I, the undersigned, that's you, agree to surrender my card collection, my cassette deck, my soul, my Guinness Book of World Records, two packages of Red Hots, in return for which I'll marry your mom and I'll be your dad, okay? Okay, now sign here, right there.
Tricky.
Thanks.
Toby studies the contract.
You didn't put your part in.
No flies on him either.
Yeah, here, now will you sign?
Sure, as soon as you marry my mother.
He has potential.
Five to 6 weeks ago, you were nowhere on this planet, and now look at you. King of the castle among your peers and fearless among your competitors. Thanks to me.
Yeah, thanks to you is right, man.
No, don't get me wrong there. I'm not looking for your thanks. Thanks aren't important. It's your loyalty. Your loyalty is what's important. Yeah, well, you say that now, but if you'll forgive a touch of the cynic, I've seen it happen time and again. An older guy like me gives his all to a young punk like you. Good faith on both sides, you understand.
And when the kid makes it to the top, well, because there was nothing legally binding between them.
Max, if you got something for me to sign, I'll be more than happy to sign it.
Now, Max, now, get lost!
Hmm?
I was just saying how easy it would be to get lost in a big crowd like this. Here, it's a standard trainer-rider agreement to sign right here.
The bikes push against the starting bar, and the starter raises his arm.
That soul is spelled S-O-L-E, not S-O-U-L.
The starter rushes to the lever, the bar drops, and the race begins.
Well, Max, you just threw it again.
Max is in an outdoor swimming pool with Toby and the children from Penny's daycare centre. They have inflatable boats, rings and toys to play with. Max lifts a little girl onto his back and lowers her gently into an inflatable dinghy. Penny walks up to the side of the pool carrying a cool drink. She sits down and watches fondly as Max plays with the children.
Is that how you really feel about children?
Oh, well, you know, sometimes.
Yeah, I know, sometimes.
Come on, hold on.
Max, everybody's having a wonderful time.
Yeah, well, that makes me feel really happy.
Well, you can stay as long as you want to.
Where are you going?
Well, they extended the concert tour for another day, so I gotta leave now.
But Toby will be crushed. And what about dinner? I don't know why I put up with you.
Because I'm such a good kisser.
That's so.
Toby bobs up from the middle of the pool.
Where's he going? Bad news, he has to leave.
He promised to take me to the carnival right after swimming.
I know.
He promised. Now you see him, now you don't. What kind of a person is that?
Stella walks onto the stage of an empty theatre, lit only by a single light bulb on a stand. She reaches the middle of the stage and Max bounds up the steps out of the auditorium.
19 cities in 21 days and a knockout every time. You're wonderful.
Every night I make love to 25,000 people. And then I go home alone. Janis Joplin, 1970. Stella Summers, 1981. Hey, Maxie, would you do me a favor? Lend me a dime. And I'm gonna be alone, okay?
She takes the coin and walks off the stage to a payphone on the wall.
Operator, this is collect to anybody who will answer. I'm Stephanie Pepper.
The number you have reached is not in service.
Oh, where are you?
Please make sure you have dialed correctly. This is recording.
Stephanie Pepper. What's the matter? Homesick for Topanga Canyon?
Nope. Borough Park, Brooklyn. Nice middle-class family in New York.
And nothing but classical music at home and no TV.
Right. Plus, every time I said I wouldn't become a star, they'd say. That's no kind of life for anybody to lead. My parents are so square. They were right about that, you know? I don't know. I guess they didn't want to see me get hurt. I mean, they probably didn't think I was good enough to make it, you know? But I always had this funny feeling that I was, that I could. And I did.
Not without me.
I know, Maxie, I know. And I'm really grateful to you, I am.
Now's the time, Max. I'm not so sure I did you any favors.
Max watches Penny's daycare children with their new play equipment for a while before one of them spots him and they rush over and surround him.
Hi. Hi. Listen, I'm trying to see Toby. Hi, Jim. Oh, yeah, you go and play. You go and play rhythm, or play hide and seek and Wolf will be it. Come on. Hey, Marie.
He walks over to Toby.
I got here as soon as possible.
Yeah, what for?
Well, I'm ready to propose to your mother. Where is she?
Inside, but don't bother. The deal's off.
Look, you can keep the rock collection and the handcuffs and forget about the Red Hots. I never really cared for them anyway.
That part of the deal isn't what bothers me.
But what part does?
The you part. I think I'd rather have Binder. You're not so reliable.
Well, you're a fine one to talk, Toby. If you don't want me for a father, then how am I going to marry your mother? Something I really want to do.
Very simple. Just ask me. It's my decision, not his, isn't it?
Don't you want a father who's going to make your mother very happy?
Binder's better. You can count on him. Toby, Binder is boring. Binder took me to the carnival Sunday. Yeah. And how was it? Boring.
Toby, when your mother and I are married, you'll be able to count on me, too. I promise.
Okay. But since you don't like the Red Hots, well, I guess I'll keep them in.
That's fair.
Wearing a black tie and a dinner suit, Max is driving his car when Barney appears in the passenger seat.
Mind if I join you?
What are you doing here?
I've never been to the Grammys.
Be my guest.
Goody for me. Goody for you, too. Congratulations on your engagement. When's the happy day?
Saturday, sandwiched in between the first and second motos. And after that, Stella's concert at the Music Center.
Well, it's going to be very busy. The 15th, you're cutting it a little close, aren't you?
I had no choice in the matter. It was her decision.
Well, at least you'll have saved yourself.
Yeah.
You don't look too happy about it.
Nobody said I had to enjoy it.
Beats level 4. But your hair looks nice.
Thank you.
A stretched limousine arrives at the Grammy Awards ceremony. It pulls up to the curb and a crowd of press and fans surges towards it. The chauffeur opens the door. The fans hold up LPs and autograph books for Stella to sign, and lurking in the crowd is Max, in a bad disguise of hat, beard and dark glasses, holding the contract. Stella starts to sign everything that's shoved in front of her. Max holds out the contract and she signs that too. Suddenly, she freaks out. Jerry and Aminda bundle her away through the crowd.
And the winner is... Any fool can see Stella Summers.
In the audience, Stella stands up and makes her way to the stage. She's wearing a beautifully cut, shimmering evening gown, but seems changed. She stands behind the podium and takes her award.
Thank you. Winning this Grammy is a great honor. And to those who are not up here with me now to share it with me, Max Devlin, my manager, Jerry Nadler of Blizzard, I have only this to say. It was a long, hard pull, man. And I got nobody to thank but myself.
Only Max can see Barney standing next to her, smiling broadly. He soon reappears in the seat behind Max, who turns to speak to Jerry.
My God, she's a monster. She's fabulous, sweetheart. That's just the way we like them. One down and two to go.
Nerve steps out of a tent in his new motocross kit like a gladiator, holding his helmet under his arm with his number, 19, proudly emblazoned on his chest plate. Another race begins. Max approaches Nerve, holding out his contract.
What, Fab? Fab, this is a special supercross indemnification thing. In case of an accident, I, the undersigned, declare that my trainer, Max Devlin, will take sole responsibility for me. Here, now you sign it.
Come on. A little late in the game for this, Max.
Well, better late than never. Come on, sign it.
Max, your spelling is atrocious. I told you, soul is S-O-L-E.
Sign it now. I'll correct it later.
Yeah.
Nerve signs, then looks up with a strange expression on his face.
Riders coming into the positions now for the feature event of the afternoon. Fans waiting to see if Nerve Nordlinger can keep his streak intact. Most of the fans are here to watch the rematch between Nordlinger and Honecker.
Just make it fast and safe.
Why bother with safe? You already have him down on paper.
Because I don't want him to kill himself.
And they're coming down that hill in good shape. Looks like somebody there had a primary chain lockup on him. Here comes Honecker on the inside.
Two down and one to go.
I didn't think it was going to be like that.
What did you expect?
I don't know. I wasn't thinking.
A string quartet is playing in Penny's garden as she prepares to get married to Max. The quartet of two women and two men is immaculately dressed, except that the camera reveals that the cellist is wearing sneakers on his feet. The guests are assembled and Max waits expectantly for Penny. The bride emerges from the house wearing a beautiful dress and carrying a lovely bunch of flowers. She walks under a small marquee that covers the guest seats and into the area where Max and the quartet are waiting.
Beloved family and friends,
We are gathered here to join this man and this woman in the bonds of holy matrimony. If there's anyone present who can show just cause why they should not be joined, let him speak now or forever after hold his peace.
Barney appears behind a guest.
Who invited you?
I'm the maid of honor.
Do you, Maxwell Devlin, take Penelope Hart to be your lawfully wedded wife, to love, to honor, and to cherish till death do you part?
I do.
Do you, Penelope Hart, take Maxwell Devlin to be your lawfully wedded husband, to love, to honor, and to cherish till death do you part?
I do.
By the power vested in me by the laws of the state of California, I now pronounce you husband and wife.
Max and Penny kiss. Toby grins broadly.
There's Henriette. Hello!
Max circulates cautiously amongst the guests, looking for Toby.
Well, son, did you forget about your agreement with dear old Dad?
I get to keep the red eyes, okay?
Well, okay.
Toby signs the contract. He stares at Max, throws down the pen, and walks away.
Mom, I gotta talk to you.
Sure, what?
Toby leads his mother away for a private chat. Smoking a cigar, Max peers round the side of some trellis work.
Toby, what is so important that you had to drag me away from everybody?
It's something about Max. I don't know what it is, but I just don't seem to like him anymore.
You're just jealous. It's natural, of course.
No, it's something really weird and bad about Max. In fact, I hate Max.
Shh. You should have thought of that before. Now shape up. Go play.
Barney is standing by the wedding cake.
Some swell marriage we're going to have. If he hates me, he'll be impossible to live with. You don't have to worry about that. Slightest hint to Agent Hargraves, and it's all over. Want to synchronize your watch? They all sign. I'm free. Aren't I? Yes, you are. But by midnight, they belong to me. Not until the natural end of their lives. That's what you said. Point of fact, I lied. I need them now. Oh, no, Barney, please. I couldn't have done it if I'd known that. He's a great kid. They're all great kids. But that kid, kill him and you kill her. Unfortunately, her soul does not belong to me. You win some, you lose some. But then again, you have your precious life.
Max runs into the living room, grabs a bowl of matches from the mantelpiece and tries to light the fire.
I know you're here. Let me see your rotten, lying, deceitful face now when I burn your contracts.
Burn those contracts! And eternal damnation is yours! You know the unmitigating pain and horror of limbs being torn from their sockets! Your limbs! Your sockets! You feel pain you never imagined in life! Yours forever! Flesh you'll smell! Burning your flesh! Rotting forever!
You'll never get these kids! Never!
He throws the contracts onto the fire and hell dissolves back to Penny's living room.
Max? Max? Are you all right?
I have to go now.
Max, it's our wedding day.
He removes his buttonhole.
There are people who need me. I promise to come back as soon as I can.
He goes to the door, sad but determined.
Max.
With the soft top down, Max drives his old car fast along the freeway. Nerve is now in Yamaha-sponsored kit and answering questions from the press.
Well, anyway, to answer your question, Big Billy Hunniker is not only a sweetheart of a guy, but he's also one of the truly great MX racers of all time.
Max motors on.
But can he beat you out in the second moto here today, Nerve?
I wouldn't be a bit surprised, especially if my trainer doesn't show up.
Still driving, Max looks anxiously at his watch. He drives his car into the race meeting.
So the winner of the 1980 Nationals here at Anaheim is Big Billy Hunniker. As of yet, no word from medics as to the severity of injuries sustained to Nerve Nordlinger.
Max. Oh, Max, would you miss?
How'd it happen?
A trip.
On your bike?
No, a trip before the moto even began. Over her. She didn't see me coming, though. I mean, I tripped over her and fell.
Max chases after an old lady with a white stick.
Who are you?
We have them here, too, you know.
We? Where do you come from?
She looks up.
You're not going to take him away now, are you, Your Holiness?
Oh, no. He's much too young to die.
She strolls away, replacing her dark glasses as she goes.
So am I.
Nerve limps over to Max.
I hope you're not mad at me for quitting the racing scene like that. I mean, after all you've done for me.
Oh, don't be silly. I was thinking of moving on anyway.
I'm going to see you again, aren't I?
I don't think so. I'm going to be going a long ways away.
Well, hey, maybe I can see you wherever you're going.
No way. I don't ever want to see you where I'm going.
Nerve looks hurt.
I mean, that everybody has their own thing to do in life, right? Well, now, I gotta go to places that are really horrible. Places that a nice young man like yourself should never have to see. Okay?
Well, am I at least gonna see you at the concert tonight?
No, I don't think so. I'm gonna be giving up all my management contracts, even Stella's.
I'll see you around.
Oh, yeah, I'll see you around.
They shake hands and Max walks away. He goes to see Stella.
Oh, thank you for my parents. Thank you.
Listen, Stella, you know how you seem to be cooling it on the performing thing and all? Well, I think now is the perfect time to quit.
Now? With my parents out from before the concert?
Absolutely. All the more reason.
Matt.
You know how you always wondered how come you could sing when I was out there and not otherwise, and I kept telling you that I could work miracles and you believe me? Well, I lied. I can't make miracles, Stella. And even if I could before, I can't anymore. You're going to go out there and die. You're going to fall flat on your face.
I am not.
Stella, I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to walk around this corner, and you try to sing, and you won't be able to. Now I'm walking around the corner, Stella.
Max. Oh, Max. Come on, Jerry and the others, they always said to me, they said, miracles is another word for confidence. I don't know why you want to take my confidence away from me now. You've always been so good to me, Max. And if there was ever a time I wanted to be good. I don't believe you. I'm not going to let you do this to me.
Bye, Stella. Have a happy
time. Max, you know, if I'm going to fall on my face, you can watch.
Bye, Stella.
Come on. Max. I'm gonna miss you.
Stella watches as Max walks away along the corridor towards the stage door. Toby is sitting in an armchair in his mum's living room when Max returns.
Oh, hi, you're back.
Yeah. Not for long, I'm afraid.
What do you mean?
Look, at 12 o'clock, I gotta be somewhere else. So I guess I ought to take off now.
But you'll be back. You always come back.
Not this time, sport. Where I'm going is too far away to come back from. I just wanted to say goodbye.
You promised.
What's the matter? Don't I write a goodbye?
You know, it really stinks. Every father I get always goes away and never comes back. Are you gonna die on me too? What about Mom? What's she gonna do?
Look, Toby, your mother's a great lady. She'll get along just fine without me.
No, I won't. Toby. I love you, Max.
How could you possibly love me? I'm not lovable. I'm not even nice. I'm irresponsible, unreliable. You've said so yourself a million times. Look, even if we try, I'll still probably leave you without any warning. I'm a rotten person.
The only trouble with you, Max, is you have no self-image.
You noticed?
He turns towards the mirror and is shocked to see his reflection in it.
What is it, Max? What's wrong?
It's me. I don't believe it. It's me in the mirror. I don't believe it. I won! I beat that lousy, rotten, slimy, no-good son of a... Barney! I beat Barney! He had my soul.
Are you all right, Max?
All right. I've never been more all right in my life. Hello? That's the most amazing sight I've ever seen.
You're talking crazy, Max.
No, I know it's crazy. I know it sounds crazy. I know that, but it's so basic. It's just so simple. It's like it's good and bad, and heaven and hell, and God and the devil. Penny, look, all my life, I made wrong choices. But this time, I made the right choice, and the devil lost my soul. He lost me.
I'm going to call a doctor.
No, please. You have to trust me. Please trust me. I swear I'll explain everything to you. But you have to trust me now because I love you more than life itself.
And you're not leaving, right?
I'll never leave you.
They embrace tenderly.
Where's Toby? Toby! Toby, come on, we're going to go to a concert.
Concert.
Stella takes to the stage, looking elegant and sophisticated, and radiating confidence. She reaches the front of the stage and drops a deep curtsy. She nods slightly to the conductor, and he leads the orchestra to a conclusion.
Of all the audiences that I've ever sung for, I know you're going to be the best. Thank you. But you're also going to be the last. Just for a while. You see, a year is a long time to be away from your family and your home. And no matter how square you always thought they were, you really do get to missing them. You even get to miss in school. But now I'm going to miss all of you. But most of all, I'm going to miss a man who... It's that thing that everybody always says. Except I really do mean it. For him, I wouldn't be here right now.
So here I am. Alone again. Not at all like I thought that I Yes, I lost my way. Seems like yesterday. Somebody promised me the sunshine. Somebody.
Toby, Penny, and Max quietly entered the rear of the auditorium.
Somebody told me there'd be roses and rainbows. I only hope they'll get here soon. Seems I've been waiting here forever, thinking that love would come for free. Someone's still waiting for those roses and rainbows. I hope that someone won't be me.
You see, Maxie?
So let go now.
Nerve is also in the audience with an attractive blonde girl from his motocross fans.
Now and then.
Penny kisses Max's hand and strokes Toby's hair. Max looks upwards and mouths, "Thank you very much." The end. Voiced by Neville Ware.